Blog Talk Radio.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
Generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the oceans began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. Now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
And welcome back to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. And remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, if you want to be a part of the program today, 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. All right, this is a very heavy news day today. I never shut the hell up, so I don't know how much we're going to be able to get through. But there's a lot going on here today. So, and there's very, I can't tell you how many millions of evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. They are the Democratic Party. So let's lift our jib and get this damn ship underway already, huh? All right, here we are. Leading up now to the disgrace of the union address tonight, ABC's John Carl sat down with Jay Carney to discuss the president's last year's empty promise address, which he's had an empty promise address since he started to campaign in 2007. But we got a bunch of clips with that. We're going to try to get through that today. Face the Nation edits out Senator Cruz condemning Obama's abuse of power. We can't have that on our show. Don't you know that might embarrass the king? So we're going to get into that today. So let's get started right away. Where the hell are we here now? Where the hell's these clips at already today? Good God, what a weird day it is today. Anyway, everything seems to be going just weird. Nothing seems to be working. I don't know what the planets are out of alignment, but there's a lot of stuff going on here today. So we need to get through this, and I need to learn to shut up. So, all right, this is the first clip of Jay Carney sitting down with John Carl on how the president can actually lead when at least over half of the country that is not afraid to admit it. I think it's much deeper than that. I think it's much more than that. But nobody has any faith in this guy. There's a few hanger-oners. They're on MSNBC and CNN and ABC, CBS. But now we have old Robert Gibbs, old Duffer Dumbbutt Gibbs. You remember him. Well, he's had a few jabs since he left. I think there was a reason why he left. Maybe he didn't really like what was really going on. He's keeping his mouth shut. He's probably paid off pretty well to keep his mouth shut. But he has a few jibs and jabs here and there. And he got another one in yesterday. So we're going to play that too. So, all right, first of all, this is John Carl talking to Jay Carney on how the president can possibly lead when nobody has any faith in him. So go ahead.
How can the president lead when barely a third trusts his ability to make the right decisions?
John, I think what we saw last year in 2013
was
a Washington that did not deliver for the American people.
Yeah,
and the president sees this as a year of action, to work with Congress where he can and bypass Congress where necessary to lift folks who want to come up into the middle class.
Yeah, so we don't need Congress. No, we don't need Congress. We're just going to bypass Congress, and we're just going to do whatever we're going to do. Yeah, remember that summer of recovery? Yeah. This is a year of action. Summer of recovery. Right. I mean, do you really believe this stuff? Do you? Can you sit there and take and just go, oh, God, you know, that restores my faith now. Restores, you know, my hope. I've got something to dream for, something to look forward to, waking up in the morning. The year of action. Well, that year of action, I believe, what they are talking about, this so-called year of action, is Obama's pen and his little phone. What that means, that phone where he's got to, where he can organize citizens, what the frig is that? Is that to send his Gestapo squads out there, the EPA commando squadrons? Is that to send the FBI or CIA or any other agency that he has to go arrest a bunch of people that disagree with him? I mean, what does that mean, that phone? This is how I'm looking at it. I'm sorry. I hate to make the comparisons, but history does repeat itself. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis were not the first Nazis. I don't mean Nazis in their term, but Nazis as those kinds of people. That kind of rule. That kind of propaganda that got the people, and they're blind, they had no idea. Some did, and those that did went to concentration camps. Yeah, and they did send their own people into concentration camps. My neighbors were one of them. And they were German. And so am I. So it wasn't just Jews. They had a hell of a lot of Russians. They had a hell of a lot of everybody in there. They killed a lot of their own people as well. If you weren't of the so-called master race, well, then you got it. You got axed. You went into a concentration camp, whatever. History does repeat itself. And what is going on now has been done way before Hitler. It's been done time after time after time after time. Sure, it's a little bit different, but it's the same basic thing, and it's tyranny. Sure, the things are a little bit different. In Hitler's time, he didn't have a cell phone. Caesar didn't have a cell phone. He didn't need a pen. He just said, do it. They did it. But what I think this year of action really means is Obama doing just that, making executive orders, taking the power, not being granted the power. He's taking the power. In other words, he's stealing. Stealing is theft. He is stealing power from the Constitution. That doesn't exist. It's not there. It is not there. But he's stealing that power. He's granting himself more and more power. Well, Hitler did it. Caesar did it. I mean, you can go on and on and on for all of the rulers that have done it. That's what they do. That's what tyrants do. And again, tyrant does not simply mean that you are a cruel and vicious dictator and lopping off the heads, but you do persecute those that do, well, don't go along with everything that you say. They don't necessarily have to kill them, but they can certainly ruin their lives, throw them in jail for making a movie that nobody saw. Imagine that, getting blamed for government screw up. Sit in your home one day, just doop-de-doop-de-doo. You put out some stupid video on YouTube that nobody's ever going to see. And if they do, whoop-de-whoop, okay. It was a spoof. It really wasn't meant to be all that great a quality. It was just a stupid spoof that nobody saw, that nobody took seriously. Nobody. How the government found it, I mean, they can find anything. I'm a firm believer they pulled that, they found it and said, okay, now we can use this. This is a great idea. And then to justify their law, well, or justify their lie, well, they blame it on a filmmaker. They persecute him. He's still in jail. Imagine that, getting thrown in jail for the government relaxing security. And not once, but twice, stopping rescue teams from going to help. And this is what Hillary Hitman Clinton, oh, that's her only regret. Oh, I regret what happened. We're going to get into that today. If I ever shut up, which, let's get into the second clip here now of Jay Carney and John Carl. And this is Carl asking, will this Obamacare be worth it if you lose the Senate? Like, what does the Senate have to do? I mean, what is this? This is where these people, this is what really pisses me off about the media. Okay, fine. John Carl, he's over there. He's probing Jay Carney. And he's been, you know, he's been at his throat. He's trying to, but he's asking the wrong questions. He still doesn't see the point. It's because he's been a Democrat for too freaking long. All of his friends, everybody he knows is a goddamn Democrat, I would imagine. But will Obamacare be worth it if you lose the Senate? It's not about whether the Democrats win or lose the goddamn Senate. It's about whether the American people will lose their goddamn health care. Will lose their job. Lose their livelihoods. And in some cases, yes, lose their lives. And this asshole's worried about whether the Democrats are going to lose the goddamn Senate? I'm sorry, John Carl, but Jesus Christ, man. Come on. Why is it always how the Democrats are going to fare? Well, do you think the Democrats are going to be losing House sentences? Oh! What does that matter? How about the American people losing their jobs, their lives, their health care? When does that ever come into the goddamn equation? Huh? This is what I'm talking about. We do not have a responsible media. I mean, John Carl, I mean, I guess he's, you know, pretty good, whatever. I don't read his stuff. I don't know. I just watch what I watch when he asks, you know, Jay Carney a probing question. But the point is nobody in the media is asking the right questions. What difference does it make whether the goddamn Democrats are going to be winning or losing Senate seats? Will it be worth it? What do you mean worth it? I mean, just, all right, shut up. Just play it. Go ahead. Cut number two.
If you look at last year's State of the Union address, the president made some specific promises. Raise the minimum wage.
Raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour.
Immigration reform.
The time has come to pass comprehensive immigration reform.
Background checks for gun purchases.
Background checks that will make it harder for criminals to get their hands on a gun.
None of that happened. Isn't this year only going to be harder?
Those were calls for action that involved Congress. The president's very disappointed that the Senate failed to heed the will of the vast majority of the American people when it came to expanding background checks. On immigration reform, we're actually optimistic that 2014 will be the year that Congress delivers to the president's desk a bipartisan comprehensive immigration reform bill that meets the principles he laid out and that he can sign into law.
But it's what the president has already said.
That was not the clip, however, but maybe the next one is. Now, these are all screwed up here, and I didn't put these together. Damn it. So you got to do your own work in this business. Otherwise, nothing ever gets done right. But anyway, that was a clip you needed to hear anyway. So let's try this third clip here and see what the hell this one is. This is going to be a surprise now.
Will it have been worth it if you lose the Senate?
There it
you
is.
Already lost the House because of the health care.
I'll tell you what.
Will it have been worth it politically?
Expanding access to quality and affordable health insurance to millions of Americans, reducing the growth in health care costs, which is happening.
Would it have been worth it if you lose the Senate?
That's a simple. This is not about politics. So the answer is, it is absolutely worth it, no matter what happens.
Even if
politically,
you lose the Senate.
Because what, and I tell you, and I just disagree that Republicans are going to have a winning issue on this if they decide to run on it, because they got to explain what repeal means.
Explain what repeal means? I'll tell you what it means. It means taking the bill. And it's still a bill. It's not a legitimate law. You didn't pass it correctly. So you take this bill, and then you take all the regulations. So you've got about 14,000 pages or so, give or take a few thousand. You take it out in the Rose Garden. You pour a bunch of gasoline all over it. And you set the son of a bitch on fire. That's what repeal means, Mr. Carney. What the hell do you think it means? But that was the clip that I was talking about. Somehow these got all jacked up, but anyway, we got the clips that we needed to get in. And you heard it directly from him. Will it be worth it? That's all anybody cares about is who's going to win the election. Nobody seems to want to care about whether the American is going to win their goddamn life back. How about that? When is Washington going to start worrying about, well, actually, this is our fault, because we're putting these people in that don't give a damn about us. Why do we do this? I don't know. People think that because somebody comes up with a really good speech that they're reading, it's not coming from the heart. It's coming from a teleprompter. Or it's coming from cue cards. That's not a speech. What the hell is that? You're just reading. Tell me what you think. Turn off the goddamn teleprompter and talk to me. Don't talk at me. Talk to me. And there's a difference, a big difference. But we don't get that. Because if they did actually talk to us, well, they would lose their power. That's what it's all about. Will the Democrats regain power? Will the Republicans take over the Senate? How will this look in the midterm elections for the Republicans? How will it look for the Democrats? What will it say about the president? Well, what does it say about America? Huh? What are these policies, his foreign fallacy, what does it say about us, America? He got a wedgie and a bitch slap from Putin over Syria. And then he got slapped around by the American people in Congress. What message does that say to the world? Well, it tells me that this is a man-child that is in way over his head. But he's got some very powerful people that are keeping him there. Otherwise, he would not be there. He's got to have some very, very, very powerful people in some very, very, very powerful spots, positions. Who these people are, I don't know. I guess you could probably start with George Soros, but whatever. I get tired of all these George Soros and the Koch brothers. I mean, most people don't even know who the hell the Koch brothers are. The Tea Party doesn't give a damn who the stupid Koch brothers are. Anybody can contribute to do anything they want. Look at all the libs that contribute to the Democratic Party. It's okay to contribute gazillions of dollars to the Democratic Party, but God damn it, don't you dare spend one dime on them Republicans. You're a racist. It's your money. You can give it to whoever the hell you want to give it to, whenever you want to give it to them. I really don't care. If you want to give your money away to a certain group or a party or this or that, you want to roll it up and smoke it? I don't give a damn. It's your money. You made it. Do whatever. So let's get into this Gibbs now here. This is him on that Morning Joe with that guy. His name is, Geist or Willie Geist. That's his name. So this is him with Willie Geist. And go ahead. There's a jab in here. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll be able to hear it. So go ahead, Gibbs.
I know you're not in the White House anymore, but you're obviously
Thank
very,
God.
Very, very close.
Thank God.
Oh, there's a moment of honesty.
But you're obviously, you know the president very well. We know what this poll says about how the country's feeling about him. How's he feeling about the country right now? I mean, this is a guy who came in 5 years ago saying change comes from outside Washington. We're going to break the fever. We're going to change the way Washington does business. We're going to get things done. And he's learned some pretty hard lessons in how Washington actually works or doesn't work.
Well, I think, the ability to change Washington, I think, is something that that long ago the White House sort of stopped trying to do. And whether or not that's a good thing, we'll look back on history. I do think.
What now? See, now what the hell is this? This whole stupid discussion is President trying to change Washington, and now Gibbs is saying, "Well, he stopped trying to change Washington a long time ago." But Obama's saying, "I'm going to change Washington regardless." So, I mean, what's going on between these two? Is what I'd like to know. And really, what difference does it make anyway? I mean, I don't even know why I'm even playing this. Gibbs is a duffer dumbbutt. He's a hack like all the rest. I mean, I never was able to take this guy seriously. But there is something there. I think Gibbs got out because he wanted to get out. There was some difference of opinions, I think. And I think Gibbs got out because he saw the writing on the wall, and he didn't want to go down with the ship. And same with that Rahm Emanuel, which is crooked as they come. Why you people in Chicago voted for this guy? Good God almighty, man. What has he done in his tenure as mayor? Has your life gotten any better? The streets gotten any cleaner? Murder rate go down? Got any more jobs? Huh? What's the price of food out there? How are your taxes? Huh? Your taxes go down? No, that's right. They went up, didn't they? Yeah. Well, so what has this Emanuel done as mayor? What has he done? Well, made life more miserable. I've been to Chicago. Windy as hell. But, I mean, come on. I wonder what Detroit's going through right now. I wonder how, yeah. How come the media gave up on Detroit? I mean, it seems like, you know, Detroit goes bankrupt, and it's just, it looks like Hiroshima. If you see some of these pictures, if you believe these pictures that you're seeing, if you're believing the, you know, news reports that we used to hear about, did the media give up on Detroit? Has the country given up on Detroit? Has the country given up on Chicago? The country given up? California, look at California. They're damn near going bankrupt, the whole state. Is that this big so-called master plan? Is that what? Why does nobody care about that? All they can talk about how it's going to fare for the Democrats, how it's going to fare for the Republicans. Oh, look at this. The unemployment rate's going down. Yeah, that's because all the unemployment insurance ran out. But there are no jobs. Oh, but we're going to fix income equality or inequality. Well, fixing income inequality doesn't mean that you take from the top and give to the bottom to bring the bottom up. The bottom isn't going to get up. It doesn't work that way. It may work in theory. You can take beans from one bucket and put it in another bucket. But this isn't, we're not talking beans here. We're talking money. People are going to spend it. You give people $1 million, I guarantee you, most people are just going to take it and blow it. The $1 million will be gone. There'll be some that will, you know, save it and spend it wisely. But those that have never had it will not. It's human nature. I didn't invent the human being. I just know how they friggin' work. You want to bring the bottom up? Will you give the bottom an opportunity to move up? What you don't do is you don't take away coal mines and oil rigs and all these other jobs. You don't make it ridiculously so expensive for businesses to actually conduct business in the United States. So that's why they send all of their companies overseas. But yet the Republicans get the blame for it, even though the Democrats raised the taxes on these businesses to the point where they just couldn't afford to stay in business in the country. So how the hell is that the Republicans' fault? I honestly, God, I don't get it. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I don't believe in parties. But how the hell could that possibly be the Republicans' fault? Well, because the Democrats, they can't be blamed for anything. Well, why? Well, because they're Democrats. Don't you know they believe in peace and love? And the Republicans are haters. Don't you know this? Don't you watch television? Speaking of television, I'm never going to get to any of this stuff. We got to get to this. We got a story on television now. We're going to get to that. Where it's pretty much the Obama administration is. Well, they're not giving a direct order. I don't think Obama used his pen, but I'm sure he probably used his phone to organize certain individuals to organize Hollywood so that they can promote Obamacare in the movies and television scripts. Sorry, but I don't need to see some geeky-looking just... I don't know what the term to call this Coco Boy, this in his pajamas. I just don't. That's just not an image I need to see, man. I do not need to see this little punk, this little rat, this little weasel, little worm, sitting there drinking cocoa, talking about health care, and making me puke. Propaganda. You telling me, Goebbels? He didn't put that Hitler stuff in the movies? Yes, he did. And if they had television back then, it would have been all over the television. It was on radio. It was in the newspapers. It was in the magazines. It was everywhere it could go. If we had the internet back then, it would be all over the internet. Jews are this, Jews are that. Speaking of Jews, I think it's this week that Auschwitz was, I think it was either yesterday or today, where the Russians came into Auschwitz and relieved them, or not relieved them, but rescued them. Imagine that sight, that you would go in there and see that. I mean, Jesus, God. And how do these people live through that? They're walking around dead bodies all day long, and, you know, throwing them in ovens, and the stench must have been just my God. How could you live? I mean, how? I don't know how you could get to that point where human life is just so meaningless. I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want to get to that point. But that's what tyranny does bring, by the way. It does bring that, and it brings it on rather quickly too, I might add. So getting back to my original point an hour ago, what they mean by the year of action, this is where Obama's going to be taking much more control, much more power. And that pen of his is very, very, very dangerous. And I'm sure that phone is very, very, very dangerous as well. And that's serious. I know I make fun of the pen and the phone, but it is serious. He can do a lot of damage with that pen and that phone. And he's taking more and more power, and we're allowing him to do it. Our Congress. I'm sorry, Mr. Boehner, but you're the Speaker of the House. Wipe your tears. Put out your cigarette, get off your ass, get out of the tanning booth, and start doing some stuff. All right? The president is taking over. He's taking total control. He's tyrannizing the nation. You as a Speaker of the House need to start some kind of hearing, some kind of proceeding, some kind of something. At least to let the president know that the American people I've had enough. We've had enough of you, Mr. Boehner. So can you get off your ass, please? Huh? And these hearings need to start meaning something. You're going to hold somebody in contempt? Well, then you take them into handcuffs and you throw them in the pokey. Just like they do with anybody else. If I went up there and I was in contempt of court, you know goddamn good and well I'd be in handcuffs and thrown in the jail. And so would you. So would you. So what the hell's the difference? Well, politicians can't do that.
Well, yeah,
we can't do that. Yeah. No, I don't know. So let's get to this Face a Nation. Ted Cruz appeared on, we played a clip of that yesterday with that little worm, Bob Schieffer, which I'm not liking that guy more and more. I never really did. But now I'm just really, I mean, what a condescending, rude little snot. I mean, he treated Cruz just like, I mean, just a piece of, just a trash. When all Cruz is simply saying is, hey, man, the president is taking it over his power. He's doing this. He's doing a lot of bad things. I'm fighting for my constituents who voted for me to go to Washington. I'm not doing anything outrageous. I'm not doing anything above and beyond the call of duty. I don't think he's going above and beyond anything. The first time somebody's had a stupid filibuster before, and it really wasn't even a filibuster. He was making a point. So what? You didn't like the point? You didn't like the point. You didn't like the point probably because you didn't understand it. But yet, these are the same people that didn't like, can't stand Ted Cruz, who was fighting to get rid of Obamacare. These are the same people that are now bitching and complaining about Obamacare and what it repealed. Well, I mean, because he was a Republican. If Ted Cruz had been a Democrat, you know damn good and well, you'd have never heard any of this stuff. Pete King to call Ted Cruz a fraud? Where's your evidence of that, Mr. King? I heard your weak, lame, pitiful excuse of why you called him a fraud, and kind of fell flat on, points, and evidence, and logic. He was doing your job, and you didn't like it. He got more attention than you. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. King. Nobody paid attention to you. Are you that insecure, Mr. King, that you need that much attention, huh, sweetie? Huh? You're the fraud, Mr. King. By the way, how much money are you making off Obamacare anyway? Got any investments? Yeah, it's a big story. A lot of politicians are now making lots of money on Obamacare, yeah. All these investments and all these medical, we've got old Al Gore, I think it's Al Gore. John Kerry made gazillions of dollars. I don't think it was Al Gore. I think it was John Kerry, yeah. I'm just wondering how many other politicians in Washington that aren't really that gung-ho to repeal Obamacare. So I'm wondering, Mr. King, do you have investments in the medical industry, making money? Is that why it wasn't the right time to fight? Is that why Ted Cruz was a fraud? I mean, I'm just asking questions here. I don't know. I'm not making accusations. I'm not accusing Mr. King of anything. I'm just simply asking questions. Because it always seems that way. When people are against something, they've got a reason to be against it because, well, they're about to lose something. And more often than not, it's money. So, again, I'm just going by normal psychology that all human beings, for whatever reason, fall into this trap. Not all, but far too many of them. And most of them are in Washington. So, anyway, back to Mr. Cruz. Where is this clip? All right, this is Mr. Cruz talking with that just condescending little snot, Bob Schieffer. So go ahead, cut number one, go.
Well, look, my focus is on the challenges facing this country right now. It's on the Senate. My focus, for example, is on the abuse of power from the president. Let's take something like the IRS scandal.
So do I take that as a yes or a no? or still
thinking about it. What you can take that as is that my focus is standing and fighting right now in the Senate to bring back jobs and economic growth. Economic growth is my number one priority. And let me tell you something that deeply concerns me. It's the abuse of power from this administration. We've seen multiple filmmakers prosecuted, and the government's gone after them, whether it was the poor fellow that did the film that the president blamed Benghazi and the terrorist attack on. Turned out that wasn't the reason for the attack. But the administration went and put that poor fellow in jail on unrelated charges. Or just this week, it's been broken that Dinesh D'Souza, who did a very big movie criticizing the president, is now being prosecuted by this administration.
Senator.
Bob, can you imagine the reaction
if the Bush administration
had went gone and prosecuted Michael Moore and Alec Baldwin and Sean Penn?
Senator.
It should trouble everyone that this administration uses government power and the IRS in particular to target their enemies, and you're talking in a few minutes to Chuck Schumer.
We're going to leave this for another day, Senator.
Yeah,
thank
gotta
you so
cut
much
him
for
off.
Joining us, and we'll talk to you again. We'll be
you
back.
You condescending little brat. What it is, and they cut that out. They didn't play that on the Sunday morning puke shows. Mm-mm, they couldn't have that. No, no, no. Oh, how dare Ted Cruz embarrass the king like that? How dare him tell the truth? See, that's what it is with these people. As soon as you get, you're right, you start talking and telling truth and all this stuff, and they can't stand that. They just, they've got like it's like an instinct. Whenever truth comes out, immediately they've got to reject it. And they've got to stop it. You can't let that truth get out because somebody might hear it. And if they hear it, oh my God, then we're doomed. Yeah, that's the point. Telling the truth, and, well, we can't have that. So they edit it out. And then they use the excuse, well, it was because of time constraints. Oh, yeah, like the rescue team going over to save the brothers that were murdered in Benghazi because of time constraints? Mm. That seems to be a popular excuse, doesn't it? They've got a lot of popular excuses. I don't know. I've never heard it. Nobody told me. It was a couple rogue employees. I first heard about it on the news. My staff lied to me. You know, say what you want, and I think that the reason that Toronto mayor still has the popularity that he has is because he just came out and was honest. Have you noticed he didn't bleed out of every one of his pores? It didn't look like any bones were broken when he did it. He didn't look like to be in any kind of physical pain when he told the truth. Actually, when you take a look at him and he tells the truth, you almost see this big giant weight lifting off his shoulders. He feels relieved. Imagine how much relief you could feel, Mr. Obama, or Mr. Satoru. We don't know which is your real name. Are you a citizen of Indonesia? Are you a citizen of the United States? Kenya? We don't know. Not only do we not know, but we do not care. You're doing bad things to this country. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm not afraid to say it. And yes, you have lied. You haven't stretched the truth or just was not as forthcoming as I should have been. No, you lied. And you're going to lie tonight in your pathetic disgrace of the union address, which I just, God almighty, I hate watching these things because they're just disgusting. They are. These people standing up, clapping. Oh, shut up. You know, even if I do like the president, I just stop with the freaking clapping and standing up and all these ovations. It's not about the president. It's about the State of the Union. We don't need to be clapping at the State of the Union. The State of the Union right now is not worth clapping for. Sorry. But when you have 91.5 million people out of work, You have what, 40 million people on food stamps? That's something to applaud? Jesus Christ. Kidding me? There should not be one single applause tonight. Unemployment rate, 6.7. Oh, he's so wonderful, isn't he? Oh, 6.7, oh, it's wonderful. No, it's 91.5 or fast approaching 92 million people, if not past 92 million people, that are out of work. You do the goddamn numbers. 92 out of 325 million. 92 million out of 325 million. Pretty close to a third. That's a lot of people unemployed. Think about it. Those are depressionary numbers. Not for nothing, but we had 48 million, 50 million, whatever the stupid number was, of all these people that were uninsured. How many of those people are now insured with Obamacare? He didn't concentrate on them. That whole stupid Obamacare, Sotoro Care, HCA, it's not affordable, first of all. The Affordable Care Act, that's ridiculous. It's not affordable. But how many of those 50 million people that were uninsured before we started this freaking escapade, how many of those people are insured? I think I heard an estimate of like 300,000. And I'm sure most of those are getting supplements and stipends and all these other little waivers and stuff to get insurance, which I, you know, whatever. You can argue that whether it's worth it or not, I don't know. But the point is you've only got 300,000 people insured out of 50 million. Took all these people, literally. Right now, it's over 6 million people that were insured. That, you know, there's some that about a third got insurance after that. So you've got more than two-thirds of 6 million that have no insurance. It used to have insurance, but now have none. So instead of that number being 48 million or 50 million, it's now, well, close to 54, 56 million that don't have insurance. All he did was just add another 4 or 5 million people, whatever the stupid number is. All he did was add 4 or 5 million people to the uninsured list. And those that were able to get insurance are now paying 2, 3, 4 times as much. And this health care bill was worth it. Why? And Republicans, they're going to, Jay Carney says, Republicans are going to lose on running on the defectiveness of Obamacare. Excuse me, Mr. Carney. Democrats are running away from Obamacare. And I'm sure that the Republicans, I don't have any real faith in them anymore until they can prove to me that they're faith worthy. I cannot have faith in these people. I don't believe for a second that they're going to use this Obamacare against them. They're going to be weak about it. They might have a few ads here and there, but they're not going to go for the jugular. We need to go straight for the throat. And we don't have to do it by doing anything illegal. We don't have to do it by doing anything but simply telling the goddamned truth. And that is it. That is all we have to do, is simply tell the truth. We don't have to embellish a thing. We don't need to exaggerate. We don't need to embellish. We don't need to make nothing up. All we have to do is simply tell the truth. And that's it. People will realize it. They will accept it. And why will they realize it? Why will they accept it? Well, because they're living it. Tell the American people the truth. Tell them how they're living. They know how they're living, but when they hear you, tell them how they're living. Because they are living that way. They're going to believe it. Because they're living it. Now it sinks in. and you didn't do anything. You didn't lie and tell these people that they're living in poverty. They already know they're living in poverty. You got somebody who's living in poverty and have somebody come up and tell you, oh, no, you're not living in poverty, which the left does. They tell you, oh, yeah, you're not living in poverty. No, nothing to see here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but there's nothing on the table. Oh, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of food there. No, there's only crumbs. Oh, it's more than some people get. Don't worry about it. Great, thanks. Beautiful. Enjoy it. Jesus God Almighty. Sweet blue freaking heaven. All right. Let's see what the hell else we got in here today. Let's open up my treasure chest here and see if we can plunder for any loot. Oh, look at this right off the top. Arizona GOP censors Mr. McCain for a liberal record. Well, you should have done that like a long time ago. Super Bowl ticket prices are plummeting. Well, I got a whole bunch of reasons why that is. How much time do I got? Okay, good. I haven't talked as long as I thought I did. I still got an hour and 12 minutes here. I might be able to get through all this stuff today. Unbelievable, huh? Here's what I was talking about earlier, the Hollywood elite. So it wasn't the Obama administration, but I'm sure that Obama's phone was used to contact certain peoples, and these peoples get a hold of Brangelina. What, I hate that. Would people stop using the male and female couple and mixing the names together? First of all, that just sounds stupid, and it's puke. It's childish and it's just stupid. Brangelina. It's stupid. It irritates me to no end. Maybe there's a lot of people that like it. That's fine. You can love it. You can say it. I don't care. I just hate hearing it. It makes you sound like an idiot. But now you got Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Which, I mean, I like all these people, but I mean, first of all, Hollywood shouldn't be pushing anything. The screenwriters should be writing, and I do write, so I know what I'm talking about. To be free, to be a free writer, and I am a free writer. I don't write what other people, how other people see things. I write how I see it. I'm the writer. I'm the creator. I'm the painter. My writing is my painting. I don't let anybody dictate to me how I write my scripts. I'm going to write what comes in from me. If you want this goddamn propaganda crap, then you write it. But they're putting pressure on the writers to push this son of a bitch. That's what I would do. I mean, I just don't understand involved into other people's lives. Why they think that propaganda, I'm trying to put this in the right way. I know propaganda works. And I know it's easy to use. But the problem is propaganda doesn't, it's short-lived. People see through it after a while, because the propaganda, once people realize that the propaganda doesn't match the reality, well, and then when they question it, then they got to be taken out. The Hollywood elite are pushing the screenwriters to push Obamacare and the TV and film. Well, how about pushing the son of a bitch off the cliff? Let it rot at the bottom of the ravine. How about that? Take all 15,000, 14,000 pages, whatever the hell it is, and just throw it off a cliff. Hell, it's paper. It's biodegradable. It's good for the environment. Little Sisters of the Poor. Little Sisters of the Poor. Looks like the Supreme Court shot down a little bit of Obamacare and old Hunchback of Notre Dame there. What's her name? Sotomayor. She's leading the way. I wonder what's going on with that. I wonder if somebody got to her and now they're paying her off. I don't trust these Supreme Court justices. I'm sorry. I don't. I hate to say it, but I mean, I don't trust any of these people. I don't trust anybody in government anymore, and it's sad. If government would just do their job, I mean, nobody would worry about whether they're corrupt or not, because wouldn't be any reason to worry about it. But these people are using the American people as their game pieces, their pawns. And they move us around the board as they see fit. Well, no, I'm going to move around the board how I see fit. And if I don't feel like moving, I'm not going to move. It's just sad that because you expect and demand and require freedom, that makes you a rebel. In America, land of the free. Yeah, those were the good old days when you were actually free. You could speak your mind. You didn't have to worry about, well, getting arrested for making a film. I'm sorry, but we do not kowtow. We do not surrender to terrorism. We stand up to terrorism. This man executed his freedom of speech, his right to create, his right to say what he wanted to say, do whatever he wanted to do on film. It's art. But he has to be persecuted. Well, because the government needed a scapegoat. How come we haven't had any hearings on that? Why are there any hearings, at least in the House? Why aren't there any hearings on this? Of how the president and his administration can blame a filmmaker. And they still have this man in jail. Why are there no hearings on that? Mr. Boehner, can you get some guys hot on some things? I think it's time to lasso this stuff in. It's time to stop this president from completely destroying this country. We need to take away his pen. We need to sit him in the corner with a dunce cap. Look, all I'm asking for, all the Tea Party is really asking for, all American people, what are they really asking for? It's for the government just to be fiscally responsible and stay the hell out of our lives. You got a whole lot less work that you have to do, Congress. Imagine that. You get a whole lot of free time. Now you can go to your constituents and you can talk to them. You can go to the golf course. You can sit on the couch and cry, Mr. Boehner, all day long. Imagine that. Oh, get it out, sweetie. Yeah, that's it. Have a good little cry. Yeah. I don't understand how I could be the only one who takes this stuff seriously and can see this stuff. And I know I'm not. I can't be. But those in power, they, for whatever reason, either they don't see it or they don't want to see it. Either way is unacceptable. Either way is unacceptable. We need to know why that filmmaker's in jail. Don't give me this crap because it used the internet and that was against his probation. Oh, it's unrelated charges. Has nothing to do with it. Yeah, well, no, it does. There's a poll out now. 63% don't have confidence in Obama to make right decisions. I think that number is much higher. Obama to raise minimum wage for government contract workers. So government contract workers get a raise, but other people don't. Well, in any event, you know that it's now $10.10 an hour. Well, that comes out of your pocket. That doesn't come out of the company's pocket. There's no corporations that's paying that. That's coming out of your pocket. So Obama can just do that. He can just write on a piece of paper, okay, minimum wage, no, this. Congress, they don't have anything to do with this. And Congress is allowing this to happen. Mr. Boehner, do you realize that Obama is taking your job away from you and you're going to let him do that? I'm sorry, Mr. Boehner, but you're going to have to get off your ass. Wipe your tears, put out your cigarette, and get to work. Oh, look at this. The UK Tea Party surges to become the country's most favored political party. Even the goddamn British are favoring the Tea Party. I wonder if they're racists over there. I wonder if they're misogynists. The UK Tea Party, huh? What if they're racist and homophobic? What if that's what they are? You know, just like the Tea Party over here in America. Because that's all we are about. Yeah, we can't wait to wake up in the morning and be racist. And homophobic and misogynist. God, we hate women. All right, now we got to get into this. This is the police force. You know you've heard me talk about the police force. It's not the police force that I have a problem with. It's the police force that I have a problem with. And they have too much of it and use too much of it too often. They do not have the power to be judge, jury, and executioner. The president does not have the power to just make law as he sees fit. Allow the EPA to make law as they see fit. We have rules and regulations. Let me tell you something, cops. We have a justice system. Okay? Now, you heard me talk about, you know, the police and little kids make a gun in the shape of their fingers, and they need four big, buffed-up, roid-raged cops to come in and put the little child in handcuffs. Jesus Christ. There's no excuse for that. Showing how big and tough you are doesn't mean that you got to be handcuffing children. Doesn't mean you got to be arresting every time you make you go to a call. Does not mean that you have to make an arrest. That's not your job. This child is not a threat to society. They have no business having handcuffs on them. Now I'm going to get into this story here. This jackass cop puts his 17-year-old kid into a goddamn coma because he broke up a fight between two girls. You don't need to be tasered. First of all, high school and junior high kids and grade school kids, I'm sure they fight. There's ways to handle it. We never had a problem. We never had the goddamn cops at a school fight. What, are you kidding me? Never once did we have the cops come to a fight in a school, and we had fights at our school. Come on. There was always somebody fighting. So what? It's, come on. I mean, it wasn't every single day. Don't get me wrong. But there were fights. It just happens. It's just part of growing up. It's part of nature. They're going to fight. Well, they learn their lesson. I mean, the teachers handle it. There's no need to call the cops. I mean, if you teachers can't handle, don't know what to do with a school fight, you shouldn't be in the goddamn classroom. You shouldn't be in the school. I'm sorry. But learn your goddamn job before you walk into a classroom. Please learn how to handle the situation. First of all, you must be mature in your mind. Obviously, you're not. You're not mature. Nor are you secure. Don't give me this argument. I don't want to hear this crap. Oh, security. Oh, it's this and oh, it's that. Oh, it's the rules. I'm tired of these excuses. I don't want to hear any more about it. You're not using the proper judgment. You don't have any common sense, so how the hell are you expected to use any proper judgment? That's what's missing in our culture, in our society. And that starts with the mindset. We don't need common sense anymore. We can always blame somebody else. We can always, well, it's the rules. Well, you know, for security reasons, I had to handcuff this 10-year-old. Well, that's for security. It's for everybody's own safety. No, it's because of your own incompetence and immaturity and rationale, logic, lack of common sense, lack of thinking things all the way through. So no Nino de Rivera, a 17-year-old boy from Austin, Texas, is fighting for his life after being tased by the Bastrop County Sheriff bass drop, bass drop, I don't know. Bastrop County Sheriff Department deputy. His crime? Breaking up a fight between two girls in his school's hallway. The fight took place at Cedar Creek High School, and a crowd of students gathered around the two fighting girls. School officials called in Deputy Randy McMillan. Randy. Randy to the rescue. Ranger Randy. Jesus Christ. But by the time old Ranger Randy got to the scene, young D. Rivera already successfully stepped in and separated the girls instead of the goddamn teacher that, well, noticed it maybe, you know, they could have stepped in, but no, they go get the cop. We never once had cops sent to a school for a school fight. I never heard of this crap until recently. It's ridiculous. Just school fight, for Christ's sakes. Come on. Kid gets in trouble. More often than not, they learn their lesson. Now, you're always going to have, you know, a certain one or two kids that are never going to learn their goddamn lesson. But the overwhelming vast majority of them will. I got into school fights. I learned my lesson. My brother did. Everybody did. Come on. You don't need goddamn cops because school kids are fighting. Unless they're fighting with guns. And I mean, come on. You need to use some common sense, some judgment. And if you don't know how to handle the situation, what are you doing in the school grounds, much less a frickin' classroom? So when McMillan arrived, old Ranger Randy, he ordered D. Rivera to step back. Care of this now. Ooh, the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger Randy. Excuse me. So the boy, D. Rivera, he stepped back and obeyed old Officer Randy, holding his hands in the air. Like, why do you need to hold first of all, the kid isn't the one that was fighting. Why does he need to hold his hands in the air? And why does anybody, first of all, why would even the two girls need to hold their hands in the air? You never broken up a fight before, cop? What do you, come on. Between kids, come on. Come on. This is just over. This is just far too much force. First of all, the goddamn cop should have never been there in the first place. Oh, but oh, that's a riot school. We need to have it. Oh. Whatever. So what? Okay, fine. They got a cop in the school. Whatever. Fine. I understand it. I get it. They got a lot of bad kids in a lot of bad places. So there's no reason to bring out your taser. There's no reason to put anybody in handcuffs. There's no reason to go through all that. You can't break up a goddamn fight between two girls. You shouldn't be a cop. But the fight was already broken up by the student. So what you do is you take the two girls into the principal's office. The principal office, I'm sure the vice principal's always the one who takes care of the discipline. They get a couple of days suspension. They get this, they get that. Bada boom, bada bing. It's done. It's over. But no. So as the young boy was holding his hands in the air, Mr. McMillan tased him. Why? I don't know. He wasn't even in the fight. Why did this idiot tase him? Well, we don't know that. And I'm sure we're going to get a really fine, fancy excuse, too, aren't we? Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm sorry, but I'm just reading that part right there. There's no reason for him to be bringing out the taser. I don't need to be in the situation to know that there was no reason for him to bring out the taser. I think we're all smart enough to come to that conclusion. So D. Rivera, the young boy, fell flat on his face, knocked completely unconscious. According to the documents, the fall caused a severe brain hemorrhage, but instead of providing medical help, McMillan handcuffed the unconscious boy. who broke up the fight between two girls, and the fight was already over. So not only did he get tased and knocked unconscious, but he has to be handcuffed as well. Are you really that afraid of a 17-year-old boy cop? You see what I'm talking about? It's not the police force. It's the police force that I have a problem with. This is unacceptable. Unacceptable. When Dee Rivera was finally airlifted to St. David's Medical Center, he had to undergo surgery and was placed in a medically induced coma because of the severe brain injury. He is still now, to this day, this moment, comatose because he broke up a fight between two girls and obeyed Officer Obie's instructions. And yes, I said Officer Obie. But the doctors do believe that he will survive, although with unknown consequences. Brain injuries, yeah, he's not going to be the same. When you mess your squash, it doesn't get repaired. So this kid is now going to live for the rest of his life with brain damage, and I'm sure he's going to have a very... I'm sure at one point he's going to become very violent. That's what head injuries do later in life. He gets in his late 20s, early 30s. Pretty good chance. Maybe he won't be able to speak. We don't know. But brain injuries are serious. Whether the doctors believe that he's going to have a full recovery or not, I'm praying for the guy. I'm hoping for it. But head injuries are serious. They don't really heal. So let's find out. Is this son of a bitch, is this cop, did he get arrested? Did he get tased? Did he get put in handcuffs? Did he at least lose his job? Did his supervisor even talk to him? The family's lawyer, Adam Lowy, whatever, said that he will have a very serious permanent brain injury, and we don't know the extent of when he wakes up. Well, I didn't need to read that. I already just said it. Students who witnessed the fight confirmed that McMillan severely overreacted and even endangered other students by using the taser in a crowded hall. Dee Rivera's family has filed a lawsuit, and the incident is under investigation. ACLU and other civil rights groups have protested shortly after the incident, demanding that the police bans the use of taser, stun guns, pepper spray in Texas schools. I've never really been the one to believe go along with the ACLU, but I'm going to have to probably go along with this one. I think that's where we need to be. If the cops can't handle the situation, they don't need the pepper spray and taser. They don't need to handcuff people. Never once. And we had some brutal fights in our school, man. Never once did the cops get called. Now, there's another incident in Arizona. I don't know if you've seen this. It was on... I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen it all around. This just happened. And if you watch the video... Excuse me. Let me get a shot of grog here. My voice is still screwed up. And I got to go on stage next week and... I need my voice. I have to do a lot of screaming and this and that, and I never shut up, so my voice is, it's toast, but that's all right. We're going to make it. So these cops pull this man over who evidently stole a car. Go on a chase for like 30, 40 minutes. So the video is out there where the cops are all surrounded. There's a good probably 20 cops. Maybe more, maybe a little bit less, I don't know. But let's just say a good even 20 cops. That's a lot of cops. And he's standing there next to his car, and all these cops got these guns pointed at him. Doesn't appear to be having any weapons on him. He's not moving his hands. He's just standing there. Then all of a sudden, they start shooting him with beanbags. So then he turns around, faces the car, the side of the car, and has his hands in the air. As his hands are in the air, The man was not putting up any resistance, any fight at all. Hands are in the air, and this cop shoots him twice in the back and kills him. As he falls down on the ground, the cop immediately runs over there, grabs his arm, and I'm sure took his arm out of his socket, the way you watch a video, and flipped him over and handcuffed him. Getting shot in the back twice, killing him pretty much instantly, probably went through his heart. That's not enough. We've got to handcuff him. No weapons were found. Nothing. Now, I'm sure you're going to get an excuse from the cops. That, oh, well, we thought there was this. We thought he had a gun. And we thought this. And he said that. And, you know, we're just making sure. You're dealing with guns. Especially in the public. Maybe it's training. Maybe it's police training that could be the problem. I don't know. But it just seems to me, maybe it's also, you know, 24-hour news, the internet. But it just seems to me that there is far too much of this excessive police force. I'm sure it's always been there. We've heard stories since time immemorial. However, it just seems to be escalating a lot more. And then when you couple that with the EPA swooping in out of the trees. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, needs to swoop out of the trees in Chicken, Alaska in full body armor, machine guns, and sidearms just to test the goddamn water. These poor panhandlers are down there trying to dig for gold, mine for gold, and they need the EPA in full body armor and machine guns? You see the culture, the mindset. And it's going to be soon where all law enforcement is all going to be held under the federal government. We can't have that. That's not the idea of law enforcement. Their job is not to be judge, jury, and executioner. They do not get to decide who lives and who dies. Obviously, there's training issues, because when you see a guy who's no frickin' threat get shot twice in the back, kills him, and then is flipped over very violently, I might add, and handcuffed. Yeah, okay, did he do a bad thing? He stole a car and went on a police chase for 40 minutes. But you had him dead to rights. He wasn't going anywhere. He couldn't go anywhere. And he wasn't going anywhere. He was just standing there. Maybe if you took a couple of guys that, you know, would approach him and just handcuff him right there, you could have had the whole thing done in probably 10 seconds. But did they do that? No. They fired a bunch of beanbags. He turned around, put his hands up in the air, and then they shot him in the back. And there's no problem with the police force. It's the public's overreaction. No. Look, cops, I'm sorry. You got a crap job, but if you can't handle it, you shouldn't be a cop. You need to decide for yourself. Are you really the threat to society out there? Are these people that you had to shoot in the back? Don't you think that makes you more of a threat? Or at least a threat to society? I believe so. When you got a cop that's gung-ho, is not afraid to shoot somebody in the back who's unarmed and has both his hands in the air, yeah, that's a threat to society. God only knows what happened to him. They just showed the video. I mean, I'm sure that there was some kind of, you know, cop excuse that they're going to use, but I don't think so. If you look at the video, it looks pretty cut and dry. He was murdered in cold, damn blood. Period. That could be anybody. That could be you. Evidently, now they can shoot you for anything. So you get a speeding ticket. They make you get out of the car, give you a full body cavity search. When your back is turned and both your hands are in the air, well, then they shoot you in the back. Well, they didn't know that there was a camera. Well, First of all right, we need to quit this story. I mean, we could just beat this, but how come we don't have any hearings on that? I mean, these are real issues facing the country. I'm sorry, but when the police force is more of a threat to society than the criminals, we've got a problem. That's all I'm saying. We've got a problem. We've got real problems in this country, and we're not addressing any of them. Goddamn John Carl is worried about whether it's going to be worth it for the Democrats to go to Obamacare if they lose the Senate. Meanwhile, he's not thinking about the millions of people who have already lost their job, millions more that are going to lose their job over this. He's not worried about the people that lost their hours, lost all their health insurance. Now they have nothing. When you lose your job and you can't find another one, I mean, you lose your house and your car, your food, your clothing. It's winter. It's cold. But as long as the Democrats, you know, keep control of the Senate, well, then that's okay. The country's doing good. Guys, this is us. They're not going to care for us. We have to care for us. So if we're not going to care, we go into the voting booth and we vote for the same crap that we already have in here, that's our fault. That's your fault. Don't bitch and complain to me, because I'm going to be voting responsibly. There's going to be a lot of people losing their jobs. There needs to be. But that doesn't mean we just replace slop with more slop. That means we vet these candidates. If you see somebody who would be a good candidate, well, then you got to get them involved, man. And if it's you, then you got to get your ass involved. Look, you don't have to be a certain somebody to run for office. You don't need to be a lawyer. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a military officer to run for Congress. All you need is common sense and the ability. I know you shouldn't have to use the word ability, but to these people, they've never lived like normal people before. Most of these people have never lived that way. Some of them have come up from the dregs and worked their way up. But they haven't been down there in so long they've forgotten it. People in there who haven't forgotten it. We don't need rich people in there. You don't have to be rich to be successful. All you have to do is use a little common sense. If the bill doesn't make sense, don't vote for it. So the Super Bowl tickets now, the prices are starting, they're plummeting. They're going at half price, over 50%. Well, here's a big reason why. And I've got my brother, his ex-wife and her new husband, and they remain friends, and they got kids, you know, so they're all, everything is fine. There's no problem. They actually are better friends now that they're no longer with each other than they were when they are each other. It's a beautiful thing. And I still like them. I know them all. They're good people. Everybody's good. It's a good family. Family doesn't have to have blood. Family's just family. So anyway, her new husband, well, it's not new. They've been married for quite a while. But evidently he got season tickets from his parents or something like that. So they got an opportunity to get Super Bowl tickets in Seattle. And they got it for like $800 or something. Because they were season ticket holders. So they're going to be here in New York. I think they come in on Thursday, Friday, whatever. But there's a lot of people that, well, once they found out, first of all, there's no tailgating, which is part of the game. Now, I know this is, again, small and insignificant, but what I'd like to know is this whole name of security, and they've got the commission that they're sitting down there. They got the two owners of the Jets and Giants. And they got the commission, and they're all sitting around. All right, now, what are we going to do for this Super Bowl? Well, why are they so concerned with all this security? If they're so goddamn concerned with all of these so-called security issues, why are they playing the game? Why are you playing the game if you're that concerned with all this security? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. I find that to be bogus. It's over the top ridiculous. It's the Super Bowl. People are going to go there to the Super Bowl. Look, if terrorists are going to get you, they're going to get you. It doesn't matter if you have the Super Bowl or not. So they take away tailgating. Now, if somebody can explain this to me, how is getting rid of tailgating going to get rid of terrorism? So if you don't have any tailgaters out there, that means nobody's going to bomb the place? I mean, how is tailgating connected to terrorism? And why do you need to get rid of it at the stadium? I just don't understand that. Every stadium, every Sunday, are literally thousands of people in every stadium tailgating. Millions of tailgaters every Sunday. Literally. But at the Super Bowl in New York, you can't have it. You can't walk to the stadium. You can't walk up to the stadium. Well, somebody might come up with a bomb. Oh, they can come up to a bomb at the, they've got like, what, I think it's 4 or 6 public transportation stations that you have to go to, and you go through a complete check there, and then once you get off the bus or the shuttle, then you have to get another inspection. They got to, I don't know what they're going to do, make you a strip search, cavity search, I don't know. 2 security checks. So if somebody's going to bring a bomb, they're going to bring the bomb there, they're going to blow it up there. So how are you going to stop people from showing up with a bomb? It's ridiculous. There's no reason, no excuse to take the game away from the fans. And tailgating is part of the game. That's the first half of the game. The second half of the game is when the players play. I don't understand how that's going to be secure. They've got all these rules and regulations. They're going to be x-raying any food, any water that you bring in, any drink, anything. You got to go through a complete x-ray. I mean, they're going completely ridiculous. Well, there's no parking, first of all. They've only got so many parking spaces. And you can't be dropped off by a taxi or a bus. You have to have their own private goddamn transportation. So they're going to be spent, literally, I think there's, well, I don't know how many thousands of seats, parking spots. But those are for the monkey mucks. The fans coming in to watch the game, it's not going to be them driving. They're not going to be able to park there. That's for the monkey mucks. So all the fans, and I would imagine probably a good 70, I'd say about a good 70,000, maybe 60,000. That are going to be using, they have to be forced to use the public transportation to rest, or all the mucky mucks that are there, they get a chance to drive. Maybe that number is going to be more. I don't know. I'm just guessing 60, 70,000. Even 50, it doesn't really matter. I think the stadium holds, what, 80,000, 60,000, 70,000, whatever it is. But you're going to have tens of thousands of people all trying to use these shuttles to get there. Well, it's going to be a long friggin' wait. Where are they going to put all these people to wait in line to get on these shuttles? They're going to need a lot of shuttles. They've got 4 different stations. It's going to be a madhouse. People are saying, first of all, I can't tailgate. I can't drive to the stadium. I can't walk to the stadium. I can't be dropped off by a cab. I got to go through all this crap and go through all these security checks. And then when I get there, I can't do anything. I can't breathe. I can't stand up and cheer because that might offend the other team. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it sucks because my team is going to be there, and they are going to beat the mighty Peyton Manning, and we're going to regain our Lombardi Trophy that was taken from us from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those days are done. We are now going to be the champions. But the people, I feel sorry for these people because there's going to be a lot of empty seats in the house because people can't really afford. The economy sucks, but some people worried about the weather. Which the weather is supposed to be 35 degrees and, partly cloudy. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. 35 degrees is hard enough. Come on. I know. But they're worried about all these, they're using these excuses of all these things. What it is, it's you're screwing with the people. You don't screw with the fans. That's why they're not going to show up to the game. And I told you this at the very beginning when I told you about this. This was going to be the worst. This was going to be a disaster for the NFL. They're already saying it's going to be the least amount of people in the Super Bowl than it was after 9/11. After 9/11, a lot of people weren't really into the Super Bowl. They were staying at home, but they weren't really, we can understand that. But look, when you gotta put people through all of these shenanigans, and because you're too much of a coward and you don't understand and you're not mature enough in the head to use some common goddamn sense, well, yeah, people don't want to be screwed with. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that never had a chance to go to a Super Bowl, especially Seattle fans. There's a lot of people that would love to go to the Super Bowl. Well, they're going to go anyway, but they're going to have a horrible time. And those people that, you know, can't afford the damn thing, well, they're not interested in going through all the nonsense, and then you can't enjoy the game because you can't do this, you can't do that. Security checks. And once you get to these stations, I think it's like $50 one way. So it's going to be like $100 a ticket to go back and forth from the public transportation stations to the stadium. I mean, I don't understand what the hell these people are doing. Open it up and let people come. Look, terrorism is going to be terrorism no matter where you go. Who suspected terrorism, 9/11? Who suspected those buildings were going to be blown up? You can't. I mean, you can't predict something like that. Nobody thought that the Boston bomber was going to... Nobody suspected that. So now what? Now next time they have they're going to be checking everybody's bags. They're going to be checking this, checking that. Look, we don't give in to terrorism. We stand up to terrorism. We do not change our way of life. We do not give up our rights, our freedoms, our liberties. We do not change our way of life for terrorism. They change for us. We stand up to them. We show them you are not going to dictate to us how we are going to live our lives. We are not going to live our lives in fear of you. So you, the terrorist, can kiss my ass. I am going to tailgate. I am not going to have a complete body search to get on your goddamn public transportation. And if I want to walk up to the stadium, I'm going to walk up to the son of a bitch. And I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to cheer my team. You will be arrested because you are a threat to society. Really? Giving in to terrorism, that's not a threat to society? Excuse me? Well, we want to prevent terrorism. Oh, it's all in the name of security. No. No. We stand up to these people. We don't change because of them. We should not have to change our way of life because of fear of terrorism. There's other ways to handle this. There's other ways to make it secure. And if you're so goddamn concerned about all this terrorism, all the other games? Huh? But now it's a Super Bowl. Well, that's a big Super Bowl. Of course, it's got to be terrorism. Why do you say that? There's never been terrorism at any Super Bowl ever. Well, we got to be sure. Sometimes being more safe is being sorry. Just saying. And you are going to be sorry. And you people deserve it. And it's a beautiful stadium. I don't know if you've seen it. But it is. It is a beautiful stadium. It's clean, brand new, beautiful. But we've got to take the game away from the fans. In the name of security. No, in the name of tyranny. It's incompetence on your part. I'm sorry. I don't buy this security issue crap. I don't buy it. I find that cowardly. I do. I find it. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people think, well, it's insignificant that you can't tailgate. Well, there could be security issues there, and we don't know about. The FBI could have got a tip. Well, if that's what you want to believe, then fine. Go back, stick your head in the goddamn sand, and keep it there. There's no excuse why Americans should have to change our way of life one iota for a goddamn terrorist. Period. I find that weak. I find that cowardly. I'm sorry. We're home of the brave, man. Doesn't that mean anything? Land of the free, home of the brave? Doesn't that have any meaning anymore? Whatever happened to bravery? Do we have that anymore? No. Because if we did have bravery, we would have sent rescue teams in to go save those men in Benghazi. But we don't have bravery. We don't have that anymore. Why? Well, because American people would have power if they're brave. If they're going to stand up to terrorism, that means that they've got power. That's right. We do have power. We are the American people. We are America. It's okay to have American pride. But it's not okay to give in to terrorism and force the American people to change their way of life. To live their life in fear that they might offend a terrorist. All in the name of security. Well, you people screwed up and you're going to have the worst goddamn Super Bowl ever. Even though it's going to be the best for me because my team's going to win, but it's going to be worse for you. And you deserve it. You deserve to lose all the money. And you deserve to have all the complaints that you're going to have because you know damn good and well there's going to be a lot of people not being able to get to the game. And when they do get to the game, it's going to be late. You're going to miss. They don't like to miss. Fans don't like to miss, you know, the game. It's Super Bowl. You don't want to miss nothing. Especially when you're paying, you know, ridiculous prices for these goddamn tickets, but they keep dropping because people aren't interested in getting screwed. They're not interested in going through your little shenanigans, this goddamn commission they have, a commission. That's all we need, more commissions, more committees, more subcommittees, and you see what that brings? You see what bureaucracy brings? Everything in life is a balance. If you have too much bureaucracy, well, you have chaos and nothing ever gets done. And if you have too much tyranny, well, then, well, you may get some stuff done, but it's all the wrong stuff. So you need that balance. In order to use that balance, you must first have, I know, I've said this a million times, but it's common frickin' sense. It is impossible for you to have balance when you have no common sense, no logic, no understanding of the goddamn situation. You're not mature in the mind. You can't handle it. So you arrest the 10-year-old. You put him in handcuffs. You shoot them in the back. Well, good. They deserve it. And now, look, there's something else here now. Where is this? They're going to have federal security forces at the Super Bowl. I mean, what the hell? Let's see, what is this? I seen this morning. I haven't read this. I just read the headline. So, I mean, I just don't like the sound of a headline. Let's see. Super Bowl 48 has been declared a level one national security event. See, why? That's BS. I don't buy it. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Part of that security is to examine every item that is being brought in for Sunday's big game. You know what this is to me? This seems like a run-up to, like a practice run for this administration. That's what it seems like to me. They got the federal forces in there. This is a practice run. Get used to this. Get used to having this done quite often. Maybe next time you go into the mall, you'll have to go through this. Federal security forces. We shouldn't have to live our lives that way. We're America. We don't change our way of life for terrorism. They change their way of life. Or they die because we kill them. But we do not change our way of life, one iota, for terrorism. And don't give me this just gillis nonsense of national security. I don't buy it. Seems like a practice run to me. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents. They need Customs and Border Protection. Border protection agents at the Super Bowl in New York? How about the border protection, let's say, I don't know, on the border of Mexico? How about that border protection? Yeah, you know, all those Mexican drug cartels that are smuggling in children, and then our Homeland Security takes them to their already illegal alien parents. God knows how many of these kids are going to go into prostitution, slavery, what the hell else they're using them for. God only knows. These Mexican drug cartels don't care about life. So they're bringing the U.S. Customs and Border Protection agencies to the Super Bowl. Not to the border of Mexico, but to the Super Bowl. We'll work around the clock to X-ray every delivery truck and any other vehicle authorized to enter the MetLife Stadium complex for anything suspicious. Well, what you people are doing seems suspicious to me. What the federal government is doing to the Super Bowl, that seems suspicious to me. I mean, I'm just saying. Look, I don't have a problem with national security. I don't have a problem with taking precautions. But there's a limit. And enough is enough. I want responsible security. Responsible protection. And prevention. But it has to be responsible. It can't be over the top. While you're concentrating on all this other crap, then you're letting everybody know how you're going to ruin their freaking lives. I mean, my God, how long is it going to take you to get to the goddamn stadium, first of all, to even get on a shuttle? And once you get on the shuttle, then you go through traffic. Then once you get in there, you got to go through security again. I mean, my God, the game's going to be half over before these people even get in there. And you wonder why these tickets are dropping. Hello? So they're going to deliver, and they're going to x-ray everything. Doesn't matter what it is. They're going to x-ray everything. Why is it the Super Bowl? I don't buy this. This doesn't seem right to me. This seems suspicious to me. This definitely seems like this is the federal government doing a practice run. Getting warmed up. This seems like to me. Don't think for one second that it's not. Agents will be looking for smugglers. Smugglers. Kind of like the Mexican drug cartels that are smuggling in children. You think people are going to smuggle in, the Mexican drug cartels going to smuggle in children into the goddamn stadium, you idiot? Smugglers? Come on. Narcotics? Terror activity? Maybe if you put a little bit of this attention during Benghazi, like, a couple of weeks beforehand when you got rid of all the security and everybody else was leaving, maybe those four American brothers would still be alive today. If you put just one-tenth of what you're doing at the Super Bowl, what you could have done at Benghazi, then we'd still have our brothers living today. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. This makes no sense to me at all. I'm sorry. I find this suspicious. I find this wrong. I find this scary. This scares me. This kind of stuff is a bigger threat than any terror. This is the real threat. This is the real terrorism. I'm sorry, it is, and I'm not afraid to use the right word. But when you have this much control over everybody and going through this and going to that in the name of national security, which I find that's bogus. I don't like being lied to. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't. And there's a lot of people, oh, wow, they're a cop. They're not going to lie to you. If they tell you they're security, and that's the FBI, they say it's a national security. Well, you've got to believe them. Really? They're the federal government. Since when has the federal government ever told you the goddamn truth, huh? When? Exactly. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. If I'm the only one, I don't care. About the Super Bowl week, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. We'll use HCV mobile scanning trucks to examine vehicles. But why don't you do that, Homeland Security, down at the border of Mexico instead of hand-delivering these illegal aliens smuggled in children from Mexican drug cartels to their illegal alien parents? Do your goddamn job, Homeland Security. Leave the goddamn Super Bowl alone. We're America. We are x-raying every piece of equipment, every cargo, every beverage seat cushion, every piece of merchandise, food, everything that is going into the stadium has to be x-rayed before it goes in. Jesus Christ, and you wonder why people, nobody's showing up for the game? Nobody wants to buy tickets? That's not going to make people feel more secure, I'm sorry. That much security makes me feel insecure. Because that tells me either they don't really know what the hell they're doing, or there's a real credible threat. In any event, I don't want to be a part of it. You see what I mean? If they have that much security, that much x-ray and this, and full body searches and this and that, and all these checkpoints and all this, that tells me one of two things. Either these people are incompetent and have no idea how to handle the situation, or there is a very, very, very extremely highly credible threat, which means something's going to happen, which means I don't want to have any part of it. And if there is that big credible threat, they shouldn't even be playing the game. If you have to go through this much security, this much nonsense, if you have to x-ray every piece, every little piece of food, every this, every clothing, every single person, everything that goes inside the stadium, if you have to go through all this checkpoints and full body cavity searches, x-ray machines, radars, if you have to go through that much security, you shouldn't be playing the game. I'm sorry. You should not allow these people into the stadium if there is that much security that these people have to go through. I'm sorry. That means that there's a credible threat. If there's this much security, there's no reason to play the game. That means you need to find another stadium or just call it quits. God damn it. All right, I got 15 minutes here before we got to pull into port. So let me see if I can cover some stuff. But you know what I mean? I mean, that gets ridiculous after a while. We're America. We don't give in to terrorism. We don't change our way of life for terrorism or anybody. We're Americans. And we live our life as Americans, which is any way we want to live. Unless we're hurting somebody, harming somebody, we can live our life our way. We can believe in whatever we want to believe. Some people believe in God. Some people believe in the devil. Some people believe in this. Some people believe in that. I believe in freedom. I think it's a great way to live. But, I mean, that's just me. That's just me. I'm crazy. I'm a nut job. I'm a wacko. All right, let's get into this Arizona GOP censuring Mr. McCain, which is kind of a boring story because we all know that he's not really conservative unless he wants to be and he's running for office again or he hasn't had his name in the papers in a while. The problem is with these people, with him and Mr. Graham, and I like both of them, and I love John McCain. But what I don't love, and same with John Boehner, they're very inconsistent, and I can't have that anymore. I'm sorry. I can like you guys personally, but I can't have you working for me anymore. You're fired. Boehner, you're fired. King, fired. Graham, fired. McCain, fired. McConnell, fired. All of you, fired. You're not going to work? You don't deserve your job. Well, thank God we got, you know, there are people standing up and saying, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Now, this is just a censure, which means not a whole hell of a lot. But the Arizona Republican Party formally censured Senator John McCain on Saturday, citing a voting record they say is insufficiently conservative. Now, this is what I would like to know is why can't... I better leave that alone. I better say that for another day. Anyway, moving right along. Don't worry about what I was going to say, because we'll get to it when we get to it. The resolution to censure John McCain was approved by a voice vote during a meeting of state committee members in Tempe. It needed signatures from at least 20% of the state committee members to reach the floor for debate. No further action was really expected. Of course not. The McCain pukes person, Brian Rogers, declined to comment on the censure. Oh, of course. They're not going to. I've gone to a dozen of these meetings, and every now and then they say some rocky resolution gets passed. John Kyle, told the newspaper on Saturday, the move was wacky. But most people realize it does not represent the majority of the vast numbers of Republicans. Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and disagree with you on that. Well, no, let me change that back. You got to redefine, what Republican really is. What Republican used to be, people like you and me, we still think it is, but we know that it's not. We wish it would be. I'd like to see a little bit more conservatism, and that's why when the Tea Party came in, and I'm not a member of any party. I refuse to be a member of any party. But when the Tea Party came up, and there was a reason for it, and Americans, most Americans do side with the Tea Party, but they just don't admit it. But when they find out what the Tea Party is all about, they're like, yeah, I agree with that. Okay, that's it. The Tea Party doesn't ask for very little. They don't ask for very much at all. They're not radical. They're not out burning flags and crapping on cop cars, destroying the landscape, occupying the landscape, just turn it into just a dump. We're not raping each other. We're not stabbing each other and shooting each other in these little rape camps that they had with this Occupy Wall Street nonsense. You don't see that in the Tea Party. They're fighting for you people, too. You don't know that. Freedom is for everybody. It's not for the white, gray-haired, rich Republicans. It's not for them. It's for everybody. Those people aren't in the Tea Party, first of all, just to let you know. The Tea Party is for America. The Tea Party is America. The Tea Party just stands for the Constitution. And it's a pretty simple document. Anybody can read it. There's copies of it everywhere. And believe it or not, it doesn't hurt either. You can read it and it doesn't hurt. You don't feel any pain. The only thing you're going to get out of it is knowledge and understanding. But you're going to have to do some research. Because there's going to be a couple of words that you may think mean a certain thing, but they don't. And it's easy to find that stuff out. And if you don't know how to do the research, well, then, I mean, just drop out of society. Go live, go find a cave, crawl into the son of a bitch, and stay there. But I'm already sick of this stupid McCain story. What does it matter? Okay, you get censured. Do you know what that means? Naughty, naughty, Mr. McCain. Naughty, naughty. It means nothing. That doesn't mean anything. He could care less. It's going to go nowhere. It's going to do nothing. The only thing that matters is that's how you vote. Now, you shouldn't have voted him in again. You already knew how he was not really conservative. But Arizona seems to like him as a Republican. I like him, but I can't stand the guy when he lives out far too often. I don't like inconsistent politicians. I don't like politicians who become a certain way when it's convenient for them. That's not real. That's phony. That's fake. It's phony. It's ridiculous. I don't respect it. I can't have it anymore. So all you people, you got to go. You got to lose your job. You dropped the ball. Now you got to sit on the bench. Boehner, fired. McCain, fired. McConnell, fired. Graham, love you, but you're very inconsistent. You're fired. All of you. Pack your bags and get the hell out. You're not going to work for us. You're not going to fight for us. You're not going to stand up and fight the fight when the fight is on. That's cowardly. I'm sorry, but that's a coward. A coward goes, you know what? It's not the right time to fight. I'm going to go back home. It's cold out. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh. No. Someone who's brave. When they see a fight, they fight it. They don't run away from it. They head right into it. Now, this is a fight. Fight for the way of life of America. We're losing our way of life. You don't believe me? How about the 92 million people that are unemployed? You're telling me that's over a third of the American people. It's well over a third of the working people that are old enough to work. There's a lot of children in this country. What, the total population, 320 million? Okay, there's going to be a lot of those that are children. So you do the math again of what the real unemployment rate is. There's been figures as high as 37.2% or whatever the number is. The exact number, got to be honest, doesn't really matter. The fact is it's way too frickin' high. And now we're going to listen to another pile of just nonsense in this goddamn disgrace of the union address tonight, which is just, I'm already puking just thinking about it. Okay, let me come real quick. I've only got a couple minutes, and we're going to have to dock this ship here before tomorrow. So the Hollywood elite tells screenwriters to push the Obamacare into TV. Yeah. Screenwriter Guild East is collaborating with Hollywood Health and Society to train writers to weave the disastrous Affordable Care Act into TV and film. HHS is a program that is notorious for working to integrate the left's agenda into TV and film. Here is a part of the mission from their website. HHS is a program at the USC Annenberg Norman Lear Center that provides entertainment industry professionals with accurate and timely information for storylines on health and climate change. Okay, if that didn't make you projectile vomit, I don't know what would. But we know we've got far too much propaganda in our Hollywood. And good for the Little Sisters. Little Sisters of the Poor One and Barry Satoru Zero. Exactly what happened, we're not going to have time to get into that today. See if we got something else quick. We'll get into that tomorrow. Poll, 63% have confidence or don't have confidence in Obama to make the right decisions. Well, yeah. Look at the decisions that he's made. How can you possibly have confidence in somebody who's made the decisions that he's made? Oh, he's going to get it right this time. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, because he's got a really good speech tonight. He's going to raise the minimum wage for the government contract workers. Yeah, but what about the other Americans? Well, no, that's not about them. Yeah, no. Well, just raising the minimum wage, okay, first of all, and that's for contract government workers, that means it's going to come out of your pocket. It's not going to come out of the corporation's pocket. It's going to come out of your pocket. And when you raise the minimum wage to the corporation, yes, again, that's going to come out of your pocket. It's going to be more expensive to buy more things. It's going to be to the point. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get rid of the fast food restaurants. Well, look, if you don't like fast food, don't eat it. But fast food should be cheap. So what? So what if it's got cholesterol, this and that? If people don't care, I don't care. Let people live. If people want to be fat, let them be fat. If they want to live with heart disease, let them live with it. You only have X amount of days on planet Earth anyway. There's nothing that guarantees you're going to live to be 100. So just because you eat your goddamn tofu and you don't eat meat, you know, because it kills an animal, and you know, what the hell does that mean? You can get hit by a truck. You can walk out of your house. You can get a disease. You can get this. You can get that. There's no guarantee in life that you're going to live a certain age, regardless of what you do. So live your life at the fullest, man. Don't worry about it. You want to get fat, get fat. You want to eat fast food, eat it. But these people think, well, it's just burdens everybody of their health insurance, and now I got to pay more for mine because of fat people getting diabetes. So it's all about money. Oh, okay. People need to just mind their own goddamn business in this country. Actually, in the world. But especially in this country. That's what freedom is all about. Freedom, and the left talks about acceptance. What are they acceptance? Where is their acceptance? Huh? There is no acceptance in the Liberal Party unless you believe whatever they believe, and they believe whatever they want to believe at the time they want to believe it. I can't keep up with their crap. The right believes in freedom for everybody, not just one group, not just the white people. But the American people, meaning if you are a citizen of this country, and you can prove it, unlike the president, but if you can prove that you are a citizen of this country, that's it. Game is over. You're an American. You're free. You are no more or no less of an American or no more or no less free than any other American. You're an American. You fit under the Constitution. Freedom is for everybody. The Tea Party is fighting for everybody. So everybody is free, not just a select few. We don't persecute our political foes. If we did, just think if the right were to ever really go after the left, really, really go after it. And if we had a responsible media, just think of how many people on the left would be in jail. All right, we are running dangerously close out of time. I've got to hurry up and get into port before this cuts me off. So, any event, thank you very much for listening today. We will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody. You feel that?